Let the drama kick, the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, let the drama kick die. Let the drama kick, 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 let the drama kick.
We roll up. It's your boy Silk.
Kev.
Newberg.
How y'all feeling, baby?
Oh, it's
Fan Mullen in the building.
Championship. Oh, the full spin. Now we got a whole Dan Mullen spin.
Wait, Dan Mullen? Wait, I've been listening to the Big Three roll up and I could have sworn. Wait.
Fan Mullen in the building, baby.
There was only one person on the Big Three roll up that said Dan Mullen was coming.
Can I tell you who the next head coach at Florida is going to be?
You don't know, bro.
Yeah, go right ahead, Bird.
The next head coach at Florida is going to be Dan Mullen.
Nope. Fan Mullen in the building, baby.
Is that your Twitter handle now?
Yeah, that's it, bro. Fan Mullen, bro.
You know what?
Yeah, out here, dog.
Why can't you change your Twitter handle to like an apology to me? Like
Speedy Gonzalez. Got Speedy Gonzalez in the building. He back. You know what I'm saying? He might wrestle Tyrese, try to, you know what I'm saying, get some revenge back for Percy Harvin or some shit. We're going to see, dog.
So you
know, get the band back together.
Silk, when are you going to start trusting in my insider heat, man?
You ain't no insider heat. You had the same information everybody else had, bro.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, relationship with Strickland.
Than you did. Yeah, you were saying.
No, you said last show, you just said, yeah, you're right, man. Me and Chip Kelly.
Who was in your top three, Silk, from the get go? Because I think there was a November 9 show.
Top three once?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's still the same names. Only three names we're hearing right now. Behind the scenes is pretty much Frost, Chip Kelly, and Bob Stoops are the three names that's pretty much floating around.
Mullen's not even in this.
Well, as you can see, we missed on three motherfuckers, Bird. I don't know if you're watching Twitter and shit, news and shit.
I heard all about the logo and the flagship.
Oh, see, now you just switched the conversation. You said Mullen wasn't in this. He wasn't in the top three, obviously.
I mean, we were on Same Energy Sunday.
So my information was correct.
You told me Mullen was a no
Kev, was my information not correct, Kev? If he wasn't in the top three, he didn't go top three, did he?
Your information was correct.
Thank you.
Except for the logo and flagship shit.
Thank you. Oh, we definitely flagship, baby. Those are facts. Like, you can debate a lot of shit on here. But Big Bread and Flagship, you can't.
Not only did you miss on your top three or four people, but you had to overpay to hit your fifth target.
Ain't no such thing overpay, dog. We got Bread, bro. That broke nigga talk.
You made a guy that has a
we're gonna pay Dan Mullen and buy y'all stadium, bro. Fuck out of here.
You paid someone who's got a below 200 winning record against ranked teams, top five college money. That's overpaying. Tennessee's about to overpay for Gundy, too.
I mean,
it's bread out here, dog. Why do you think Jimbo about to leave? It's bread in the SEC, dog. That shit ain't no money, bro.
How does it go so quick from Bob Stoops, Chip Kelly, and Scott Frost to Dan Mullen, who was...
It don't matter, baby. Dan Mullen in the building, dog. You know what I'm saying? You get your goddamn coach together, bro. Fuck you worry about us, folks.
But on 11/23, you said Mullen.
Y'all about to lose y'all coach to a band director school, bro.
Stop deflecting. We're talking about Mullen right now. We're going to get to our Jimbo segment.
No, we ain't talking about Mullen.
Oh, okay, you want to move on? You're done?
I'm talking. Let's go. What do you want to talk about?
My moment. I was hollered down. I was shouted down. I was told that I was insane. For how long?
Bird. Bro, you coming off like Tito, dog. You're not a troller, dog. You gotta just be a reporter. Yeah, you've been putting piss poor effort on the timeline all week, bro.
I'm not trying. I'm just trying to rehash. Right
terrible at this, dog.
What?
You're terrible at this, dog. Stay in your lane, dog.
If you're just gonna be louder than me, yeah, you can be louder than me.
I ain't loud. Just say you're terrible at this, bro. All right,
but how does it go? Hold on. We played a little game 2 weeks ago, we played a game, best case, worst case. Best case was Chip Kelly and Scott Frost. I asked you what the worst case would be. I think we might have that clip, but the worst case for you was Dan Mullen.
Mm-hmm. Worst case is Dan Mullen still. I don't fucking want Dan Mullen. I could lump right now. I'll lump Dan Mullen with Mike Norvell. I'm not gonna like that hire either. Fuck that. So those two are worst case scenario.
Do you feel this is the worst case scenario hire?
Nah, dog, I'm good, baby. Big cushion there, dog.
Speedy Big Barry Sanderson. Big Barry Sanderson.
Watch the finish. Watch all that shit, dog. Big crystal ball on the timeline right now. I just dropped one, dog. Y'all watch all this shit, dog.
All right, man. It's all
good. Hey, and breaking news, happy. If you're listening,
hey, Silk, if this, you're happy, I'm happy.
This just happened live right now. We're in Justin Fields' living room. Dan Mullen. We're in the building, baby.
Yeah, but this shit. This
the logo in the building, baby. Flagship is it. The flagship. Go ahead.
You told me in order for this recruiting to really take off and for you guys to build on this, they needed to make a splash higher.
No, we just need the logo.
And at the time, if I would have said Dan Mullen, you would have done what?
Look who that they don't want to see you winning. Like I said, right now. Right now, we're in Justin Fields' living room in November, baby.
Hey.
Fan Mullen, we out you.
I think you're getting dizzy from all these spins, so let's just move on. Kev, championship weekend, tell me how you're feeling.
Well, I'm feeling good, bro. We win,
dog. They don't want to see you winning.
Hey, so as the lone representative of a team with championship aspirations, I'm feeling good, dog. I'm feeling real good. We play the best at the top of the against our best competition, bro. It's at night, you know. We're prime time people, so we're still sleeping. Yeah, we're still sleeping at noon, 8 o'clock. We'll be ready, dog. That turnover chain is coming out, dog. Kelly Bryant, old baby Rozier, dog. It's a wrap. Go ahead, you heard it here. 40-3. We got Clinton Portis and fucking Santana Moss on the show tonight. So we win.
Can't tell us shit.
So we win 40-3.
All right. I'm going with the Canes in this one, man. I really think the Canes, it sounds crazy, but I think they needed that loss to Pitt. It's kind of like when you're in a fight and you get that little blood drawn, and I'm telling this like I've been in a fight and had blood drawn, but, you know, all of a sudden you're just hungry, and I think Miami needed that. I think Miami has these slow starts, and you can't come out and slow start against Clemson like you do against Pitt or some of these other teams, but I think it's a wake-up call. Let's be honest. Can Malik Rozier play worse?
Nope. Like,
is it even possible?
Nope. Nope.
So you got to feel good about that.
That's an up.
I'm taking the Canes by 10. What about you, Silk?
No, I ain't really got no analysis. I'm just going to Clemson. I don't fuck with Miami.
Very nice. Very nice. Kev, are you going to go to the game?
Nah, man, I can't go.
I don't think you should, because what is the Canes record since you've attended a Miami football game? Have they won a game since you've been to one?
They won one the one he was at, Bird.
But since that day, have they won a football game?
Yeah. They beat Virginia, and then they beat whoever the fuck
you've
else.
Been to? Have you been to – you went to that one?
You said – what'd you say,
though? What the fuck?
I'm asking different questions.
I don't know. I'm just trying to troll it. It probably didn't work out right.
You're like, terrible at this, man.
You guys got to. Nah, you're not going to be
terrible. You're terrible at this. The lies, not the facts, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to talk about lies on this show?
Yeah, bro. That's what I'm here for.
My track record. Speaking of lies, Jimbo Fisher's been doing a lot of lying in the media.
Oh.
So you think my article ran him off?
Yeah, dog. You the reason Jimbo leaving, bro. I really believe that shit, dog. Did you look at his presser? That whole presser felt like he was talking to you, but you went there, so he had to hit like Sophia and shit. Real talk, dog.
No, you thought he was talking to me? I don't think so.
Definitely.
So here's what I think is going on with Fisher right now, man. I think this year is different.
I said that same shit, and we in the playoffs.
My opinion. Woo! I think he's gone. I think Thursday, the day that this pod drops, or Sunday are probably the 2 days where if we hear something, that's when it's going to be.
We'll see, man. I think this coaching search at Florida State's going to fire up, but Fisher still has not made it an official decision. I'm talking to a lot of people.
He almost got to go, man. If not, this is easy to negative recruit. Like, this is terrible. If he don't go, I prefer him to stay at this point.
Me too. I don't want Taggart and his staff down there.
I mean, and how do you prepare?
Up there, whatever.
This is the first time that Jimbo Fisher's approval rating has really taken a hit with the fans. Because even though he was renegotiating these contracts and putting Florida State up against it the years prior.
I don't think he gave a fuck about the fans.
The fans had his back, though. And at this
point,
at this point, he's losing it. But you also got.
They had firejimbo.com.
Yeah, they did fire him.
You also got the beef that he has with the media. You got the beef that he now has with the administration that's bubbled up to the surface. We wrote something on Knowles 24/7 about that today. There's just a lot of fences that need to end it.
If he's writing a lot of shit.
I'm like you. I just write more.
You write more, bro.
And I'm not completely wrong all the time.
Damn, I ain't fucking.
You had Florida State in the playoffs, dog. I don't even know what you're talking about. Jimbo's leaving.
Is it just about the money?
No, of course not. I mean, the money plays a huge part in it.
Texas A&M, like, as much as I like to troll that shit.
Bread,
it's
dog.
It's not
SEC better football, dog.
It's not about FSU and Texas A&M. It's about Jimbo Fisher's situation in the place that he's in right now. And you know what? Even if there's never been – I think it's understood that Florida State can't compete with every school in the country when it comes to financials. I mean, that's one of
– No bread up there, bro. I'll be trying to tell y'all.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an endowment school like Florida or
ain't no flagship up there. Programs.
Especially, they damn sure don't have oil money. I mean, you're gonna compete with the school with oil money. You're not competing. The owner,
broke niggas, bro.
But that's also why Texas A&M has to overpay so much because tier SEC program.
Y'all keep talking about overpay, dog. You're worth what somebody's gonna spend, dog. Like, there's no such thing as like buying a house. There's no such thing as overpay, bro.
Yeah, but
you're what the market says, bro. That's what the market's saying right now.
Yeah, that's but saying, Florida State, I believe.
Nah, but that's not what the market says. Nobody's gonna pay fucking Mike Gundy $8.4 million.
Mike Gundy's not going anywhere, so that don't matter, dog. So I mean, that's just obsolete. Mike Gundy's gonna stay at Oklahoma State.
I got a question for you. At what point does cost outweigh value?
I don't know. What's the cost of winning?
Well, in my opinion, I believe that
cost on winning, bro. Bama showed you that.
I don't think there's soulmate coaches. Like, I don't think that there's one coach that needs to be at one program that can only win. Meaning, like, I don't think Jimbo Fisher's the only coach in America that can win at Florida State. That's crazy.
Just say y'all broke, bro.
So what I'm saying is, that's a known fact. I mean, Florida State isn't one of the richest schools in America. They're not going to be able to just compete money-wise with every school in the SEC. That's a fact. But what I'm saying is, what point does cost outweigh value? I don't think that you need to pay Jimbo Fisher $7.5 million to win at Florida State. I think that there's other coaches that you can go out and hire for a couple million less and still do the same job. So
okay, we're going to find out.
But here's what I think
it's all ego.
I don't think if Texas A&M pays Jimbo whatever the fuck, $7.5 million, that he's going to win at Texas A&M. I don't see him winning at Texas A&M.
But money's relative. Money's relative to them because they have more of it. So 7.5 to them
ain't shit.
Ain't shit, right?
Talking about overpaying. Like overpaying
cost versus value.
If you got it, Wayne said it ain't tricking if you got it, bro. Not tricking if you got it, dog.
All right, so let's play this game real quick. Best case, worst case. Like we did with the UF coaching search. Best case, worst case. So for me, in my perspective, I say best case, in my opinion, is a Willie Taggart hire. Worst case for me would be maybe like a Dave Clawson or a Brent Venables or Clawson at Wake Forest, who came from Bowling Green a couple years ago, 3 years ago.
Y'all broke his head. Boy, y'all miss on Willie.
Saying that's – to me, I think if they made a Dave Clawson type hire, that would be worst case. I'm saying I think
so
best case –
Dave Clawson could do the same job as Jimbo Fisher?
I said that would be worst case. No,
if he got the job, did you think he could?
I don't know enough about Dave Clawson right now. I'd have to I'd have to talk to Mike Elko. Elko's the DC at Notre Dame and he coached with him at Bowling Green and Wake Forest. So if they get Clawson, I'll try to get Elko on the show and see what he can inform us about that. But yeah, I don't know enough about him right now, to be honest with you.
So no.
All right, so for me, I don't want FSU to hire Taggart. I'd rather Jimbo stay than them hire Taggart. And I want them to hire Jeremy Pruitt as their head coach.
Oh, I think that'd be a great hire.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. You ruined Blackman's career.
You're crazy. He bring in Mike Loxley as his OC, I promise you.
Yeah, that may go somewhere else.
Hell. All right, well, let's get to the show. Who we got on this week? Who we got on?
Got a few people. Some small names, dog. You know, we'll see what's going on down in Miami, dog.
We are out here.
We out here, dog.
Yo, welcome back to the Big Three Rollout, man. We got our first guest on the line. We got national champion, Kane Hall of Famer, two-time Pro Bowler, 2002 Rookie of the Year, Clinton Portis on the line, man. What's up, Clinton?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good vibing, man.
Glad to have you on, Clinton. Man, we've been wanting to get you on here for a long time. Appreciate you taking the time to chat with us, man.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man, we brought you on because it's championship week, man. This is the biggest game Miami's played since you guys were strapping them up. How you like the team this year, man?
Man, you know, I think we got a great team. You know, they're young, probably ahead of schedule, but they're doing some good stuff. You know, it's exciting to see, especially being a fan. You know, when you see this, you get this opportunity, you want to capitalize. You know, we got some bad news, and I see Mark Wall leaving school, and I wish he would have really got the opportunity to stick around and stay because he really could help us. But, you know, just having an opportunity, I think we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah. So going back to Mark Walton, what kind of NFL back do you see him being, actually?
You know, man, coming off of injury, you know, I think he's a really talented back. But coming off an injury, you know, I think this is going to be tough for him. You know, I think this is going to be a difficult situation with all of the backs that's out. But once he's healthy, you know, once he gets his opportunity and he's healthy, I think he's going to be fine. But given all the backs that's coming out that came into the draft, you know, for him, I'm not sure what his situation is, family situation or anything. I really wish he could have just got that full year on a good team where he was a star. You know, he's been on some good teams the last 2 years, but really hasn't had the opportunity to go out and shine the way that he should have. You know, this year I think he was banged up the entire season and finally got the big break. And, you know, I know how it is when your team is winning without you. You know, it's one of the situations where it sucks because the team is doing good and you're not involved and you feel like you're the star. Same thing happened to me my sophomore year. So I know the position that he's in, but, you know, if you would have had him coming back or you would have had him the entire season, so therefore, you know, you probably should even have Joseph Yeary in school still. So I think it's a lot of bad advice being good given point. Because you think about that backfield with Joseph Yeary still here. You think about the kid that transferred to Rutgers. You know, those guys are still in uniform. So if they were still around, if they were still available, then look at the difference in the depth. You know, I think that's the situation that make UM so good when you have people challenging each other for the starting role. And having those guys would have been so helpful for us, but we don't.
Okay, quick question on that whole thing. When those guys in those binds like that, like he may have some, like, I don't know what's going on at the crib with him as far as financial with his daughter. Yeah, I know he got a daughter, but I don't know, like, you know what I'm saying, financially how he's taking care of it. So his back could be against the wall. What kind of situation? Were you in that similar situation? And how would you
go about that? Those are just really mistakes that you make. I won't say mistakes, you know, because they're blessings in disguise, but those are situations that you learn from. You know, Maybe you have a daughter and you really need to, but you got another year. You got one more year. I'm sure your daughter is at the age where you can go out and manage and survive without having to say, you know what, I'm going to forego and I'm going to forego, I mean, forego my money-making year to go out and get into the NFL, you know.
That's a possibility of getting hurt next year,
you
too,
just
though,
gotta make. Yeah, but you're hurt already. So, you know, what's the worst that can happen? That's what the insurance policy is for. You know, you take out the insurance policy, you got
that's
that
true.
Security.
That's true.
So you get that, and it changes everything. So
absolutely.
It's a tough situation, man, because you look at these guys and you want all of them to succeed. And, you know, just seeing the Joseph Yerby situation probably is what scares me the most, because you did have the opportunity. Joseph Yerby stay in school, then you're looking at him and Mark Walton as a 1-2 combination, probably the best 1-2 in college football. You know, two healthy guys, but Yerby leave early, and now look at what he's doing. You know, his opportunity is missed. You know, he's not in the NFL, and he's such a talented guy that you wish he would have stuck around.
Yeah, speaking of the running game, every time Miami struggled this year, it's because they couldn't get the running game going. Last week against Pitt, they could never get it going. Against North Carolina, they could never really get it going. And the games that they've won handily, they got it going. How do you see them getting it going against Clemson with maybe the best defensive line in the country on Saturday night?
You just got to have to come out and stick with it. You know, that's the thing that sucks about the gun. You know, when you're stuck in the shotgun, it's only so much you can do running the ball. And when you think of Mark Richt, you know, you think of so many of the great backs that came out of Georgia that he had, with the latest being Todd Gurley and Chubb. When you look at those guys, and they were coming out of I formation, and they come to the NFL ready to play football, and all of a sudden you put them in a situation where our offense is strictly out of the gun. And I don't think Berrios gets the ball enough. You know, Rickards, now that he's healthy, you got to go to him. You got to lean on him to carry the game. But we don't have that opportunity. You know, we're not doing that because you're stuck in the gun. And it seems like Rozier, it takes a second. It takes a minute for him to get going. You know, his entire season, the first quarter, he struggled. The one dominant game he had was probably Notre Dame. And, you know, I don't know what it is, the mindset, what you have to change, but you have to get your guys ready, because last week the Pitt game should have never happened. You don't go lose to Pitt after you've had so much success. Every game they've had this year outside of Notre Dame and V-Tech has been a close game, you know, has been a game that they should have won. Because you've had so much success, you've had so many close games that you're one game away from putting yourself in prime position. And it seems like, you know, when you start seeing guys fall on the field and not getting up, and you have 6-7 guys leave the game with nicks and bruises, it's just like they don't want it bad enough. And, you know, just being a fan of the University of Miami, all the players, all the successful players, you look at the Hearns and the kid from Green Bay, the cornerback in Green Bay, and,
Sam
and
Shields?
You know, you look at the guys, Dorsett, yeah, Shields. Those guys weren't on Duke Johnson. You know, those guys weren't on great Miami teams, but they went on to be great players. And even if you look at the NFL career, you see how much talent it was. And that talent is unseen because so many guys are leaving, and you can't get everyone in school at the same time. So the recruiting is there. You're still getting talented guys. You just don't have enough guys that's pushing each other, that's making each other competitive. And the guys got to stick around. You know, everybody want to come out. Everybody ready to get the money. But if you go out and win, next year if this entire team come back, you get the young kid, Cozy, at quarterback, you know, from Ocala. They saving his red shirt year. So you get Cozy, a year in the system. You have that much talent to come out and do this again. You know, I know it's a span, like it's a miracle year, a miracle season, but you have so much talent, and then you have so many guys coming in that can contribute as well.
Clinton, it's Josh Newberg. We talk a lot of recruiting on this show, not just football. And I find your recruiting story very interesting. You know, you grew up in Gainesville. You went to Gainesville High School. Can you tell the fans out there, how did you end up from Gainesville High School to Coral Gables?
Man, it was easy. You know, I went to school right down the street from the University of Florida. So
yeah.
Going to GHS, the previous year, my best friend, Rod Littles, came out, and he was one of the most highly sought-after DBs in the nation coming out of high school, linebacker DB. He ended up going to Maryland to play safety the last minute, and he was committed to Florida. I'm talking about his junior year. He announced he was going to Florida, and his recruiting process was over. And I remember just through conversation, he was going to Florida. I'm going to University of Florida. I'm going to University of Florida. And I'm like, Rod, you know, keep your options open, man. He didn't even talk to other teams. It was Florida, 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 Florida. Everyone would come to his house. He would have coaches come down and visit, and we would go out and eat and take our time, go on date night. And then, you know, coach is sitting at his house like, oh, I told him I was going to Florida. And I'm like, no, you don't do that, you know. And all of a sudden, at the last minute, Florida burnt him. And they chose to go with Todd Johnson from Sarasota Riverview over right. Rod. And so Rod had to scramble last minute. So it was already a bitter taste towards Florida. And you know, coming out, I was one of the top DBs in the nation as well, and everyone wanted me to play DB. And at the time, there were so many huge backs, the Eddie George, Jerome Bettis, Jamal Anderson, Jamal Lewis, Fred T. Like, I didn't want to tackle those guys. So I was telling people, you know, like, I want to play both ways. And they were like, well, that's a high school thing. We don't really do that on this level. And I'm like, well, if I got to choose a position, I want to play running back. And everyone kind of laughed at me because I had only had 900 yards. You know, I only played running back my junior year. And you know, it was a running back by committee. So I had 900 yards. But I was starting to like the position of running back. And all of a sudden, my senior year, I burst onto the scene and had 2,000 yards and almost 30 touchdowns. And now everybody in the world want me to play running back. So kind of I made up my mind going into August, the teams that recruited me and stuck with me and believed in me at running back when I had 900 yards because I knew what was in store, you know, those were kind of the teams that I was going to be loyal to and roll with. And Maryland and University of Miami was two of those schools that recruited me to play running back. So when the time
what they want you to play? DB?
DB, yeah. They wanted me to play DB, either corner or safety. So I remember Spurrier Jr. calling me and was like, hey, Clinton, it's Steve Spurrier Jr. We're thinking about offering you at cornerback. What do you think? And I said, I think y'all should call somebody else, and hung up the phone. And I never talked to him again. And you know, I got
that's hilarious.
To actually play them my sophomore season. So in 2000, we got the opportunity to play the Gators in the Sugar Bowl. And for us, you know, everyone was kind of upset because we didn't go to the national championship and felt like it was a letdown to have to play Florida in the Sugar Bowl. But for me, it was so huge. It was such a big game. Like, it was personal to me. And I had all my partners, you know, the Riche Cardwell, Taylor Jacobs, Lito, all those guys, Alex Brown, Mike Mateel, guys that I grew up with and around, Gerard Warren, all these guys that when I'm at home, I hang with and I'm talking to, and all of a sudden I got the opportunity to play them and guys that I ran against in track. So this was so personal to me. And if you go back and you look at that 2000 University of Miami, Florida game, I was running hard. And that was my first game that season that I felt healthy because I broke my foot earlier in the season. And I didn't feel like I was a part of the team. We beat FSU, and I didn't play. So I didn't feel like I was a part of the turnaround of the program. And that was my first staple game coming back from injury.
Clint, what's going on, Silk, man? I'm the Gator guy on the show. I want to appreciate you doing a Spurrier Jr. like that, but we're going to keep moving, bro.
Oh man, it's all good. They did me like that. If they wouldn't have did Rod, like
I feel
that,
you, dog. It's a loyalty thing. I feel you, dog.
Yeah, you know, it went on to get. So Ian Schott played with me. Vernell Brown played with me. Orion Green went to school with me. All them went to UF after me. So they ended up getting some of our guys.
Yeah, they should. I get it popping on the show, man. I got some non-football shit, man. I got a segment on here. I do where the hoes at when we do interviews, man. Who had the most hoes in your era?
Oh,
at Miami, dog.
Tallahassee. Oh, man.
Oh, he said Tallahassee.
I thought you were saying what city. Yeah.
City.
Oh, we already knew Tallahassee.
Oh, we already know Tally got it, man. They cheating. They got Tally. Fam. Technically Miami, hey. But you can't afford all them hoes though. So Tally got college hoes.
Miami still ain't close. Tallahassee. We went to Tallahassee. If we got two or three consecutive days, we was on the road going to Tallahassee because you got TCC. Everybody that say they go to fam that really go to TCC.
Yeah, just hanging out.
We didn't give a damn. We was just at that party. Yeah, so we was up there having a good time. But Tallahassee, man, was the best kept secret. I remember being in the NFL and actually taking my teammates to Tallahassee. I would be like, man, we should go to Tallahassee for Dent Week. And they like, man, Tallahassee, what's that? And everyone who went was like, oh, man, we got to go to that next year. So Tallahassee definitely had
it. Now, who had the most hoes on the team?
On the team, man, you know, in my heyday, in my heyday, man, you know, before you come to the realization of finding a good woman, you know, I was young and wild, boy, we was wide open. But it was a crew of us, you know, so my crew, you know, you got to look at that as a crew. My crew was me, Santana, Andre Johnson, Philip Buchanan, the Weaver twins. Who else hung with us?
Yeah, who was on this? Who was on this? Said it was Antrell Roll that got all the hoes.
Who was Antrell that? Was after me though. Antrell was after me. So yeah. You know when Antrell came about, I had them gave my black book to Roscoe Parrish. So Roscoe had that book. So Roscoe used to hang with us.
I want
you know like Roscoe Frankie G. Yeah, you know I gave my. Hey, and what's crazy is I declared for the draft, so everybody was like, oh, man, CP, you out. Roscoe pulled me aside. You know, I'm like, CP, you gone, man? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm gone. He like, what, you gone for real? I'm like, Sco, I'm gone. He was like, man, let me get that black book you had. I was like, what? And I gave it to him. Hey, if you ever get the opportunity to talk to Roscoe, straight up, I gave him my book. I was like, here, man, they yours. And I did. Never looked back. Never, yeah, I'm talking about never followed up the act.
New money, new hoes, man.
I gave him the Roscoe. That's hey, totally right. I had to move on, man.
I feel you. Hey, besides Delicious from Flavor of Love, what other celebrity you knocked down?
But I never knocked down Delicious, man. That was, that was a BS rumor.
Yeah.
Nah, man, that was a rumor, man.
I was hoping
man.
For you, bro. You know, I was living vicariously through you, dog.
Man, you know, I never even met that woman. You know, I met her like, maybe a couple years ago, and we laughed about it. But I never talked to that woman. Never met her. Never did anything with her. You know, they threw my name out in a lot of stuff that I wasn't involved in.
So, I feel you, bro.
Know, for the stuff that I did do. But man, you know what? I'm gonna tell you, real talk. It was some work out there, and it's days done change. You know, you get social media, women that change, all that shit changed. But in our day, like man, our pool parties. Celebrity weekend, galas, all that. Man, you can come find the who's who in United States of America hanging out, partying, and getting loose at our events. So, you know, for me, name calling, I ain't going to drop my name.
I feel you. I feel you.
These women married now, but
I sideways through it to see how I can get you to agree to the Delicious shit. But I knew you weren't gonna say no other names. I was just bullshitting with you.
Nah, man, I'm a player, man. You can't catch me sideways. But you know what? I never. That wasn't true. So you know, I think she was a nice woman, but it wasn't true.
Very nice.
I can't even lie on my.
Very nice.
Man.
I got you, dog. I feel you. Hey, which one of them characters is your favorite character that you use to play at the press conferences and shit? Which one do you enjoy the most?
Man, you know, all of them was unique, man, because it was just something that I did week in, week out. It wasn't something that was planned or we talked about and set up. It was just, you know what, how I feel today. I'm going to come out and I'm going to do this stupid stuff. And you know, I was doing it for quite some time before the media caught wind of it. And all of a sudden, the media got a hold to it. And once they did, it was, you know, like, all of a sudden it blew up. But I wasn't I wasn't practicing. I was just entertaining my teammates, being silly, wearing wigs and glasses every week. And, you know, the media got an opportunity to come out and caught us early one time. So we just rolled with it. And what's crazy is we went on a win streak behind that. And once the win streak started, it was like, you know, I had to keep doing it.
My favorite Dolomite Jenkins, bro, just so you know.
Clinton, man, we talked to a lot of Canes, and they all have different like game week routines. Some like to go out and party, some like to film study. Were you out on South Beach on Thursday and Friday night, or what was your kind of game week routine?
Man, you know what's crazy? When we was in college, and this was the difference, everybody was so focused. When I was in college, I went to South Beach twice my entire college career. I went to South Beach twice. The first time I went to South Beach was 2000. In 2000, we went to South Beach for Memorial Weekend, and I had a yellow Chevy Caprice. And I pulled up on South Beach in this yellow Chevy.
What year?
And we hanging 74, a 74 glass.
Oh, shit.
Hey, so I pull up. I had some gold days, like some 14s or something on it. You know, and I'm feeling good about myself. Yeah, I got some spokes on there. I'm feeling good about myself, man. And we pulled up at the beach, bro. And, you know, we hanging out the window. Of course, we all college dudes. We hanging out the window trying to holler at girls. And I remember parking. We parked and tried to get out and talk to these chicks. And they looked at us like we were disgusting. Like, y'all in a Chevy. And I remember looking around South Beach, and it was like Benzes, Bentleys, Beamers. You know,
they was like, across the bridge.
All of
hey, you crossed the bridge,
was,
bro.
All of us on South Beach.
They was all ridiculous.
Bro, I felt so bad, man. I remember getting back in the car, like, man, we don't belong out here. And we ended up going to Key Biscayne. Hey, but look, we left South Beach and went to Key Biscayne. So remember, Luke them used to have like a little freak fest on Key Biscayne, and that was full of Chevy, so we fit right in.
There it is. Can't cross that bridge with Chevy, dog. Trying to get pulled over.
Hey, yeah. But look, 2000, so that was 2000. 2001, right, the Escalades dropped. This is when they first changed the Escalade to the pickup truck, and I was the first one with it. So 2001, and that was like the difference of year, mate. So 2001, I come right back. That was the next time I went to South Beach, and we got the Escalade, like the Diamond Pearls. Me and Philip Buchanan was back-to-back in them. And, man, you would have thought we just won the lottery the way girls was chasing us down the beach.
Yeah, right after that Montel Williams video came out with Escalade.
No, this was before. No, I had I had the first Escalade. This was before Montel Williams even had it.
Top that
I had
count, the first dog. One.
Flex on these
niggas. Flex on these niggas, man.
Look, this
flex on them, dog.
Hey, you went to UF, right? Me and Phil, so we get the Escalade from Williamson Cadillac, and the first thing we do is head up to Dump Week. So we declare for the draft the same day, like January the 4th or something. We grab the Escalades and drive up. We driving to Tallahassee. So we stopped in Gainesville just to see Riche and Lito. You know, Riche was like, man, y'all stop. We going to ride up. We pull up, Riche and Lito see these trucks outside, and they go right inside, call the agent, and they declare for the draft.
That's a dope-ass story right there, dog. That's a dope-ass
story. True story.
Yo, we just added Santana Moss in on the conversation. We got Santana.
Y'all laughing, man. What the hell Porter done said, man? Porter got
he done. Told us about it.
South Beach. He told us about the story about taking the Escalade to South Beach.
It was a Chevy cab. Yeah, pay attention,
that
bro.
Nigga Porter something else, man. What's good, though?
We're just chilling. Say what's up, man. Say what's up to Santana.
I just talked to Santana. What I need to say what's up for? What up, bro?
Hey, good, man. Hey, so let's get this shit rolling, man. What we finna get into? You got a pep talk, Santana?
Pep Talk, man, you know I'm disgusted, right? Because, you know, we talked about this last time, and yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody was riding high, and everybody was feeling like they was feeling, you know. But I told y'all, man, I've been, that's been the one Achilles heel of our whole season and our whole team is that offense, man, not being consistent. So, you know, it finally crept up on us, man, and the quarterback, I'm not sure. I was about to ask Porter, did he hear anything about somebody giving him a wager or something, man, to blow the game? Because I damn sure that he was point shaving out there, man. You mean to tell me you can't score a touchdown on Pitt?
Let me ask you, Santana. If you're a receiver, like he missed some guys running wide open on like maybe four or five occasions. How do you feel about? I mean, like, what do you go back? You slap him in the head, or what do you do?
I mean, you gotta be honest with you, man. And I understand, you know, one of the things you gotta realize is that we're sitting in the seats we're sitting in, so we can always have something to say about everything. That's especially when it pertaining to what happened that game, why he was so off, what happened, you know, why he couldn't hit wide open guys. I was scratching my head because I watched the, Barrows run a damn corner route that normally if you get missed on a corner route when you're wide open, a guy throw it too flat. You know, or if I'm going high, I'm going flat, he throws it too high. He threw it behind him. So I'm trying to wrap my hand around it like, man, what is it with him? But I just think he had an off night. Something he did that week, something he did that night before the game just wasn't the same. And he went out there and sit in the bed, you know. But one of the things that I've always learned to do, because I wasn't one of those guys I like to be talked to by nobody. I don't care who you are. Just let him be, you know. At the end of the day, it happens. You might look at him as a receiver and say, man, come on. You know, man, I'm still here with you. I would like to encourage the guy to let him know to trust to keep throwing to me. You know what I mean? Because I want the ball, and I want you to shake whatever you got going on. But I just couldn't figure out what was going on with the guy, man. He was definitely off more than he had been all season.
Not me. I'm going to tell him to get his fucking head in the game.
I like that, dog. Like, that's dynamic of two different football players right there, bro.
No doubt. But, I mean, you got to understand something. Like, I've been the guy in those shoes that I got to depend on the – you know, I'm a wideout. I got to depend on that quarterback to throw me the ball. So, if me fucking talking to him sideways is going to get him not to throw me the ball, then I'm sitting out, you know, I'm not a part of the game. So I did different approaches because I had to make sure that I gave those guys the most confidence that they can have, even when their confidence was shattered or shook, that they can trust in me, that I'm still there for them. You know what I mean? So Porter's a running back. You know, he's going to touch that rock regardless. And I look at the game now today when they ask me questions about different receivers and all that. You know, the receivers is a tough position, bro, because we need so many other people to be who we're going to be. And that's one of the approaches I took to just making sure those quarterbacks knew that they ain't have to look at me sideways about anything, because I always want to keep their confidence up.
Santana, why do you think Amon Rich is struggling this year? What's your take on that?
I don't really know, man. You know, one of the things that I've always found that you got to pay attention to is when guys are injured or going through dealing with something, you know, that time missed on the practice field, that time missed in, you know, in the off season or whatever time he missed a lot of time. You know, that weighs on your game. It kind of slows you down. I can say that another guy on his phone with me, you know, Porter was one of those guys that he didn't really need to be out to practice every day. He was one of those guys that Porter could be in the training room and say, hey, he's sick or could be going through something, and then any Saturday or Sunday, he go out there and rush for 200 yards, 180-something yards, and it's amazing. It's certain guys like that. Me, myself, personally, I always wanted to go out there and practice and get the feel of what the quarterback was throwing, how he was throwing, have my assignment down packed, just something different, you know, in the player. And I think right now he's one of those guys. Just watching him, you can tell that he's starting to find a little rhythm now because he's healthier. But before, he wasn't healthy enough, and he wasn't getting that practice time in to tone in on his skills.
All right, we've asked Santana before, but now that we got you both on, we ask everybody, Clinton, give us a Green Tree story, man. Something where you had to slap somebody or something. Give us a Green Tree story, bro.
One of my teammates, I don't want to call no name. So, you know, we were competitive. You know, all of us, and even amongst our crew, and I told you who our crew was in college, but you know, it was a bunch of crews within our team. So one of the other crews, you know, and they used to go out and party, but his locker was right next to mine. And, you know, he would come in sometimes and throw my stuff on. And, you know, he worked out before me. So he would grab my shoes or grab some shorts out my locker. It wasn't a biggie. You know, I don't know what it was, but for some reason, one day I had to grab his shoes to go to workout. And he, you know, took offense to it, and he came out to practice late. So he tried to throw the blame on me for coming to practice late, saying he didn't have any shoes. So instead of him just saying he was late, it was he wanted to come out like, oh, Porter's got my shoes. I was looking for my shoes and make it like, you know, it was my fault. And it really wasn't. And, you know, we addressed each other out there and we had to throw hands. And, you know, after we finished, you know, it was over with. But I'm undefeated. I'm undefeated in a lifetime, bro. So, you know, I can't throw out no names. But, you know, so and Swayze handled it so sweet. So after we finished fighting or after we finished, Swayze just ran out of the locker room and clapped. He didn't see, he didn't ask nobody's side. He just ran out, clapped his hands, and pointed at the sand pit. Like, since y'all got all this energy, come on. And
hey, let's go run. Yeah, I remember after, that, bro.
Yeah, like, he made us go run the sand pit.
You know how tired you is out the fight,
just
bro?
Finished fight. Exactly. Now, we've just finished fighting, and now we got to run the sand pit. And in the sand pit, you can't stay mad at nobody. Like, you got to lean on each other. Like, now I need him and he need me. And that was just, you know, I think that's what made our team so good because we didn't even have, we just finished fighting and didn't even get a chance to linger or talk about it because we had to go run in the sandpit. And I got to carry him and he got to motivate me to get through it. And everybody else just down here laughing like, man, these boys are some fools. But we had to do what we had to do. We got it done.
Who had the best hands on the team?
Yeah, man, we had a bunch of fighters,
Jamal Brown, man. Hey, no, it wasn't. No, I'm going to tell you. We had a bunch of fighters, but hands down, the best hands on the team, quiet as kept, and nobody knew. But I was standing there when he threw one of the best punches I ever seen thrown. And from that point on, I was like, shit, if I ever get in any trouble, if I ever need somebody, Jamal Green. And I saw Jamal Green hit a dude, and when I said, and I tried to stop it, but he swung so quick, and it was like it was so innocent because he was really trying to be a good Samaritan. He was trying to keep a guy from drinking and driving, and you know, like get the keys. So Jamal was actually in the right. He was trying to stop a guy from drinking and driving, and the dude was wasted. And Jamal, you know, tried to reach in his pocket and grab the keys. And the dude kind of, like, swatted at him first. Like, get your hands out my pocket. And Jamal just reacted, man. And, boy, when he connected, I knew the party was over. Like, the DJ had to stop. Hey, listen, the DJ had to stop the music. Like, everybody just turned to walk outside. Like, damn, Jamal just fucked up a good party, man. So we, you know, we had a good thing.
Oh, shit.
Man, that was the days, boy.
Hey, give us a Sean T story, man. Rest in peace to the GOAT, man. I need a Sean T story from both of y'all boys, man.
Porter got some better ones. Porter got some good ones, man. I probably have one. Mine's probably not going to be something that probably wasn't heard before, but I'm pretty sure y'all probably didn't hear it because y'all down that area. But I just shared the other day, and I'm not sure if Porter remember this, but we was on the plane coming back from we were playing St. Louis, I think my first year here in 05, and Sean was sitting next to me on the plane, and he could tell I was hot, and he was tapping me like, bro, what's good? And, you know, I didn't want to talk, so I was kind of hot from the game. I feel like they ain't throwing me a ball enough. And Sean was like, let it out, Tanner. He kept slapping me on my chest, let it out. So I kind of like shoved my shoulder like, chill out. You know, I got my headphones on. I'm trying to sit back and just keep my eyes closed and hope this flight is, you know, we hurry up and get home or whatever, but I pulled it to the side and Sean like, let me tell you something. So then he tell me a story about him and the gang. So he like, bro, look, man, don't be mad at them. You know, hey, they fuck up, they fuck up. That's how Sean said things. He said, they fuck up, they fuck up. So, you know, he kind of got my attention. So I sat up a little bit and listened to what he had to say. He like, guess what? Coach just got mad at me. He told me he wanted me to cover the tight end inside out. And I covered him outside in. He said, but guess what? I don't give a fuck about what the coach say. Because I'm going to bust the tight end dick every time he catches the ball. So at the end of the day, fuck what he got to say. So I looked at the nigga. I looked at him like, damn, that's how he feels. So then I was able to share it. So then he looked at me like, so let it out, bro. What's going on? So I just shared with him that, you know, they had a couple of passes that they ain't complete to me. And then one of them, you know, they gave me and I did what I did. And then they went away from me. But it was crazy to me, man, that he was able to, you know, because one of the things about myself, especially when it comes to my game, I kind of like to let things be. And, you know, I'd rather not talk about it at time, but I found out that day that was the best thing to do, you know, to talk about it. And the way he described the play, I remember the play vividly because I remember sitting on the stand up on the sideline watching him cover that dude and he tore him up. And I didn't know Coach had a problem with him covering him that way. And shout out, like, man, then the devil get the job done. So, you know, that's one of my, you know, memories I always tell folks about because at that moment, it was a time I needed that. I needed somebody to let me be able to, you know, let, you know, go or whatever I was holding on after that game. And I think from that day on, even way before, you know, his passing, I was able to kind of cope a little different when I had times and those situations came like that. I was able to talk about him without having to hold him on my chest so long.
Dope.
For me, man, you know, I guess I was the one who kind of stayed in trouble with Sean. So in most of the situations, and it was good times, you know, it was innocent. It was actually innocent fun. And it just turned out, you know, it turned out to be negative attention. But so many times, you know, me and Sean ended up together. One weekend, we were actually down in Miami in this group of girls, probably the baddest group of girls that went to Howard. I think it was Howard 2004 2005 class, and they called and they were in Miami. So it was like 12 or 13 girls. And they wanted, you know, they were bored and wanted something to do. And I called Sean, and, you know, Sean was big on going to the Keys. So he's like, let's go to the Keys. So we get three carloads, four carloads of dudes to go to the Keys with 13 girls, 10 girls, whatever it was. So we going to the Keys, and I had a Ferrari. I had a Ferrari 360,
flex,
and Sean
on.
Had the BMW 760.
Oof.
So, of
big
course,
bread.
We jump out in the cars, man. And, you know, we had a couple trucks that was carrying everybody else. But me and Sean, you know, we had a need for speed. So, in this event, we driving down to the Keys. And somehow we just decided to wait race. And, you know, it's a two-lane going all the way down to the Keys once you get outside of Homestead. So, we're racing down to the Keys in a two-lane, and it was the craziest thing. It was the craziest time, and I just remember getting to the Keys and thinking, why in the hell did I just do that? Like, what did we have to do? This is the most dangerous, like, the dumbest thing we could have done. Like, this had to be the dumbest idea we had. And, you know, we went down to the Keys, and we had a blast, but just racing down to the Keys with Sean, like, we coming down doing 150 going to the Keys, like it was unreal, but it was a good time.
Dope shit, man.
All right,
hey, man.
Listen, I appreciate both of you coming on, but before we let you go, we got to get a score prediction from this game. So, Quentin, give it to us first, and Santana after.
Oh, you know what, man? I actually think we're gonna blow this game out. It's about time we have another Notre Dame game. You know, I think they're favored by 6, but I say we win by 10. I think we win 31-21. So I hope we win 31-21. But we just need to win by one. That's all I care about. We just need to win by one.
Up.
I don't give a damn what the score is.
Santana, what do you think?
You know, I'm in that boat, man. I don't care. I just want a W. But since you're asking for a prediction, the offense come to play. You know, I can see us putting up 24. 28 points. Defensively, man, we've been playing strong, and I think last week was the only thing that was missed is the offense, you know, capitalizing on some of those turnovers and giving our defense a little more, you know, to play for. So if the defense come out and set the tone like they normally do, offense has got to capitalize and score. So we can score 24 to 28 points. And I can say that Clemson, one of those teams, man, you know, they got skill power. They got some good skill players that's still there. I see them putting up points. I can say no more than 14, though. If we let them score anything, 14. So I'm going to say my prediction, my final prediction could be 14 to 28. Kings win.
Ooh, I like it, man.
Oh,
I like it.
Oh.
All right. Well, listen, man, we really appreciate getting both of you guys on this podcast. Santana, will definitely have you on. Clinton, anytime you want to come on, man, we got way more questions for you.
no problem, man.
You guys are real. We appreciate it, man. You guys have a great night, and go Canes.
All right, man. Appreciate
y'all. Have a good one.
See, all right, man. Hold it down.
Man, that was so cool.
That's so crazy, man. I mean, like, in my phone, I got Santana Moss and Clinton Portis' phone number. Like, what the fuck? If I told, like 11-year-old me that shit, like 12-year-old.
Right. Yeah, right?
They'd be right. Like,
Kev, what if you told, Kev, what if you told 30-year-old you that shit?
Yeah, if you told me, bitch, I'm crying right now, dog. I
grown man tears, man.
Real awesome. Shit.
That was awesome. All right, well, let's keep it rolling. Let's get Travis Johnson, former Florida State Seminole, on the phone right now. What do y'all say?
Yeah, we got to talk about his Texas A&M poaching job.
Yo, we got another guest on the Big Three Roll-Up right now. We have former Florida State defensive tackle and friend of the show, Travis Johnson. Travis, welcome.
What's going on, guys? Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, man. It's a busy week for me. I know you're intrigued by all this stuff that's coming out of Tallahassee with Jimbo and Texas A&M, and you're right in the heart of Houston, man.
Oh, yeah.
What are you hearing over there?
Oh, man, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I the funny part was I heard about this rumor 2.5 months ago from my physical therapist, who's a diehard A&M alumna, and I was like, you know, I kind of shrugged her off and was like, yeah, right, kick rocks. Y'all didn't stand a chance to get Jimbo from us. You know, I still don't think they stand a chance, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the sixth best job in the SEC. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, I what Jimbo's asking for, I don't think it's too far-fetched. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on, Trev. I saw you on Twitter, and this is what your point was on Twitter. And I know even with 280 characters now, you can't really fully get your point across. So
no.
I was interested in what you were saying. I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I want you to explain to the people what you were getting at.
No, I'm just saying, when you look at the landscape of college football right now, I mean, and, you know, and I'm going to speak hypothetically, because, once again, I have no facts. I'm just speaking on my opinion alone and knowing Florida State and knowing the boosters and knowing those people around there. When you think about it, imagine if Jimbo wanted to fire some of the coaches last year. A couple coaches. Just say a couple. Some of them got new deals. Some of them didn't have new deals. And the school said, well, if you fire him, we're going to have to pay the next coach just a little bit of money because we don't want to pay him and pay him. You see what I'm saying? So now, in my opinion, you know, from what I see, even if he tried, the school will still be like, well, we don't want to put too much money. I mean, everybody says, oh, they're the sixth highest paid staff in the game. I don't give two shits about the sixth highest paid staff in the game. End of the day is, there are some coaches that need more money than other coaches. There's some coaches that deserve more money than other coaches. You know, when you think about the stuff that some of these coaches, like, end of the day, the fans like, oh, if he wants to leave, let him leave. Whoa. Like, don't forget, we got our ass whooped by Wake Forest at home before Jimbo took over. Got put up a goose egg, 35-0 at home. Don't forget when we got beat by 30 by Oklahoma before Jimbo took over. Don't forget we was actually absolute dog shit before Jimbo took over. But now, you forget that. People forget,
Travis,
that. Forget that. Hello?
Yeah. My question to you, though, is when is enough enough? Because we've seen Jimbo come back
to the big
ghost.
Okay, we had a five We had a 5-win season. We're going to be 6 wins after we beat the slap out of ULM. Okay, we had a 6-win season. Yeah, stuff happens. We lost our quarterback. End of the day, yeah, everybody said, oh, that's not an excuse, but it is. You lose your quarterback, a lot of things change.
No,
a lot of things change. End of the day is shit happens. But
I wasn't talking about enough is enough, the performance.
And I hate the fact that everybody wants to count everybody else's dollars. If right now I told you, if I'm the boss of your show, the Big Three, and I'm paying you $200,000 for your podcast, and you say, our podcast got more listeners than Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn making $30 million.
Soon come.
If you come to me and say, Trav, I want $5 million this year. And next year you come to me and say, I want $10 million next year. Am I supposed to say, what's enough is enough? Or am I supposed to say, the product is the product. The standard is the standard. I'm going to give him the money. And I'm going to figure out what we're going to do. We don't have a standalone facility nowhere in it. See, I'm going to tell you the problem. Everybody's stuck in this 90s shit. While still dog shit in the 90s. Mm-hmm. We used to call ourselves the best black college football team in all of America because of our facilities. And then guess what? Now, they ain't a new facility. They just have to be paid through for furniture to put TVs up. It's like, oh, we got a new facility. It's the same shit home it was before. It's just they put a new weight room. They put a new weight room in. That weight room is 15 years old. What? They put a new they still got a training room. The training room, 15 years old. The locker room, 18 years old. I don't even slap new paint on it. There's two new lockers inside. Like, come on, man. Like, dude.
But last year, when Jimbo went back, when Jimbo went back to the renegotiation table and essentially signed a lifetime contract with a $40 million buyout, which I believe is reckless for a public university to do, but he got all of that. Isn't that his chance to negotiate for these things that you're talking about now? Because my point is, Travis, even if he gets back and renegotiate, who's to say we're not back in the same spot next year?
But here's the thing. In my opinion, I believe that he told him he needs this. Jim White has been on his hands and knees and beg for a new dorm. On his hands and knees and beg for an indoor facility. Because guess what? All them same old-ass coaches that still come around there, Bill Sampson, Jim Gladden, is like, oh, we didn't win with that much. Oh, the strength coach makes more than I do. What? Y'all wasn't coaching. Y'all just recruited whoever had the best athletes on the field. But if we had Jimbo Fisher back then, we'd have won at least 3 national titles in the early 2000s. So I'm just saying, man, I'm tired of everybody like what we did back in the day with little or nothing. That's not the game no more. That ain't what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't.
Yeah, no. I think you got a great perspective, and I respect your opinion because you didn't play for Jimbo Fisher, so you're not. You don't have blood in this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, you do because you went to Florida State, but, you know, you were there almost 10 years before Fisher got there. So I do respect your opinion. And another reason I wanted to talk to you tonight is, what is it like right now in that Florida State locker room? Like, what are the guys saying to each other? How do you get ready?
It probably saying, man, everything's going to be all right, man. Coach Fisher, because you know what? One thing I want to say about Jimbo, man. If Jimbo was gone and Jimbo was leaving, the players would know already. You see what I'm saying? Is Jimbo ain't the type. Everybody might say he came up under Saban, blah, blah, blah. Saban told you one thing, but he had something else up his sleeve. Man, Jimbo, that ain't Jimbo style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer. He's not the Cole Petrino style to leave in the dead of night like a dead cat burglar. You know what I'm saying? If he leaving, the coaches know. If he leaving, the players probably got it. If he ain't said it all the way, he been hinted to it.
I can tell you they don't know if he's staying either. I mean, I can tell you these assistant coaches and these players, they don't know for sure what is going to happen.
Listen, Jimbo, in my opinion,
yeah,
Jimbo Fisher not leaving Florida State, my opinion.
You're on the record.
I believe Jimbo, I mean, at the end of the day, outside of, yeah, they can give him the money in the facilities.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They can give him the money and the facilities and what you need to be a successful program. Do I think we need facilities like Clemson? Over the top? No. Do I think we need a standalone facility to upgrade, yes. standalone locker, all that stuff? Yes. Where do we put it? I don't know. Maybe we move the soccer stadium somewhere else. I have no idea where we would put it.
I think that parking lot, that little parking lot right next to the indoor.
Yeah, the little parking lot next to the indoor. Maybe that's where we put it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe, and connect it to the indoor.
It connects to the, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's where they go. But it's, yeah. but at the same time, like, I still think we need standalone facilities. Like,
no, I agree with you. But don't you think, let's be honest, Trav, like, don't you think in the next 3 to 4 years, regardless even if Jimbo Fisher's there, don't you think they're going to have a football-only facility?
Man, it took us to Jimbo ass to get an indoor. We used to miss. You forget this now. We used to miss 15 practices a year because of Lightning.
Hey, Trav, I was there when the tunnel was there.
That's what I'm saying. So you know how it was when that, like, 15 practices a year because of Lightning.
Yeah.
Nobody, no genius around, nobody ever said, you know what, why don't we build an indoor facility? Would everybody else have one? But yeah. us, where it rained all year long. Where Lightning all year long. But guess what? They wasn't tripping because guess what? Coach Bowden was giving them hometown discounts. He got all his coaches, brainwashed to think that you shouldn't get more money. The simple fact is, man, listen, I'm going to keep that one to myself. I'm just saying, forever, these coaches have been there beforehand. Yeah. They was getting paid peanuts.
But to Florida State's credit, they still were the first in-state team to have an indoor facility. I mean, that's kind of crazy, too, to think that every team was behind.
They were the first indoor. No, I'm pretty sure
UCF had one before they did. UCF did. UCF.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure UCF had one. UCF.
Yeah, they did.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, that now, garage. Right, you and I have both right. been in that one, though. I mean, come on. It doesn't compare to Florida State. Yeah, I get your point. I get your point.
Stop. You know what I mean? It ain't. But, yeah, you still don't miss no practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still get in there and get some reps. We used to miss practices as a whole.
Right.
Like, or go inside the gym. Hey, guys, put the sneakers on. Let's get on that 1937 Civil Rights bus and take the bus over to Tully. You remember how I used to be?
Yeah, I do. I was there.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, dude, we stayed in the same dorms Burt Reynolds himself stayed in. Dang it. Prime and all the rest of them. The Burt was around since 82. And it took Jimbo to say, you know what? Let's start moving these guys out of here, man. This place is getting – and I still love the Burt. I was still going to stay in the Burt if I was a freshman and love it. But certain things had to change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Certain things had to change.
I agree with you.
Let the old guard at Florida State, all them cantankerous old coaches, let the old guard at Florida State, let them tell it. And the way they talk to them boosters, we don't need that. We won in the 90s without any of that. Well, newsflash to the people who don't know. Back in the 90s, we had three coaches. Coach Bowden, Odell, Mickey Andrews, my bad, four, and Chuck Amato. The rest of them were trash. The rest of them just recruited well, and guess what? They said, see ball, get ball.
Yep.
See ball, get ball. Everybody else, Coach, man, period. In the 2000s, when it started to go downhill, why did it start to go downhill? Because all them coaches who wasn't coaching before now had to coach. Because guess what? They wasn't getting all the five stars no more. Jimbo can coach. He can coach. There's some guys on his staff that can really coach. There's some that can't coach. I'm not going to mention no names. But they guess what? They still better than what we had.
You're right.
So, I'm just saying, if he asking for it, bro, he – give it to him. Because guess what? It's a reason why somebody comes for him every year. That's like, man, Jimbo is like that pretty girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When you're walking down the street, if nobody look at your girl, you don't want her. She trash. She trash. You want somebody to give your woman a cat call when she walk down the street because she got a big rump shake, a little waist, man, pigeon toed and bow-legged. That's what you want.
That's right.
Who Jimbo is.
That's how you want him. Slightly bowed and pigeon toed.
They want him. At the end of the day, they know if he come there, they going to win.
Okay, so tell me, hypothetically speaking, this is the last thing I want to ask you. Say you're athletic director Travis Johnson, and hypothetically speaking, because I know you don't think this is going to happen, but say Jimbo takes the Texas A&M job, who's Travis Johnson hiring?
Well, with a $40 million buyout, they can buy any other coach in America.
No, the $40 million buyout only goes one way. See, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Jimbo has negotiated his way into this deal. It's $40 million if Florida State wants to fire him for bad performance. So if he performs poorly, he gets $40 million. He's done a good job. His buyout for Texas A&M is like 7 to 7.7, somewhere in that range. So if Texas A&M wants him, and that $7 million is basically the sum of all the coaches' remaining salaries.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
So who are you hiring? I'm gonna
applaud Dimble and his agent for that deal because it is a wonderful deal. But you know what? In my opinion, you take that money, you flip that money, and I know it's far fetched, but you go down south and try to buy Coach Rick out of this deal. You go down south and try to buy because that's what they want. They won't tell you that. But if Jimbo leaves, everybody in Tallahassee, Bill Peterson himself will rise up from the grave or wherever he at and say, oh, I want Mark Richt.
You're gonna hear all the birds. You're saying Florida State's going to come after Mark Richt.
Why not? Because guess what? Everybody knows what type of Christian man Coach Richt is. Everybody knows the type of guy, what type of coach he is. That Mark Richt is, he's not going to allow. I mean, he's not a real down south Miami type of guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not a South Beach type of dude. You know what I mean? I'm thinking they're going to bring in Mark Richt, and then with Mark Richt, he's going to bring in to be his offensive coordinator. I see him bringing in Jim McElwain or Chris Wick to be a QB coach.
You just said you're breaking up. You're breaking up. Who's his OC? If that happens,
His OC is, in my opinion, his co-OC is John Lilly. Of course, okay. He won't call play. But I think his co-OC is John Lilly. Then when you talk about the rest of the guys, I think he brings in Brian McClendon to coach the running backs. I think he brings Ron Dugas back to coach the wide receivers. Mike Beasley, if he's available, I think he's going to be the other co-OC. You try to keep Odell.
You're just getting the whole band back together, Trav.
Huh?
You're just getting the whole band back together.
That's exactly what they're gonna do. You know what I mean?
I'm here for it.
If push comes to shove, if I'm hypothetically speaking, if I'm the AD, that's what I go after.
I like it, Trav. I like it. Hey, we do a show called Same Energy Sunday on Sundays, and if Jimbo Fisher is gone by the end of the weekend, I want you to come on that show and have the same energy that you got right now.
Oh, I will. I mean, because you know what? I'm going to tell you, regardless of what Jimbo does, I'm happy for Jimbo. You know why? Yeah. Because I love Jimbo, man. Really, the only coach I'm loyal to up there is Odell. He's the only one I give two shits about outside of Jimbo.
Right.
Is Odell Higgins. The rest of them, I don't care what happened to them. And J. Rock and Jerry Jones. You know what I'm saying? But Jimbo, I'd be sick if Jimbo left. I love Jimbo. Jimbo is a great coach, a great communicator. You know what I mean? But guess what? If he takes that deal, takes A&M, ain't nobody going to be happier for him than me. Because guess what? It's something that he felt he needed to do. It's something that he felt he was pushed to do. You see what I'm saying? And in my opinion, the school needs to get on board. If you want to keep winning, because guess what? When this man took over, he told us he was going to turn us into a winner. And he took us from a laughing stock of college football and turned us into a winner. And turned us into, you know what? I'm proud to say I'm a Noel. I'm proud to turn on the TV every Saturday. I'm proud to wear the garner and go every day if I have to. You know what I'm saying? And that's what he did for us.
No lies, nobody.
To bring us back out from that, I'm forever grateful to Jimbo Fisher. So I'm gonna be the happiest person if that's the decision he wanna make. But I would be hurt if he left. But I'm gonna be extremely happy because it's like a father figure or a brother that's coming up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. Well, Travis, listen, man. I really appreciate your insight and your input. We'll see what happens over these next couple of days. But I'll be in touch. All right.
All right, bro. All right.
You have a good night.
All right, man. Thanks for Travis Johnson coming on the pod. He was pretty outspoken on Twitter. I knew he had more to say than he could fit in those 280 characters, so it was good to have him on. Hey, how about that coaching staff? That was pretty wild, bringing back all the old boys. So hopefully Travis Johnson gets that AD job one day. That would be exciting.
All right, that was dope, man. Let's get Teron Sanders on, man. I want to top it up about my new coach, man, Dan Mullen. So let's do some Mullen talk, man. You ready, Kev?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's ride, yeah, baby.
Fuck it.
Fuck Bird went.
Fuck, I don't know.
All right, we got my man Taryn Sanders on the line. Our next guest played during the Urban Meyer, Dan Mullen area. We just made this Dan Mullen hire, so we got to top it up. How's it going, Taryn?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I appreciate y'all having me on. How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for coming on and joining us.
We hanging out, dog. So how you feeling, man? We got your man Dan Mullen. How you feeling about the hire?
You know, I don't have a problem with it. It was unexpected, to be honest with you. When I was thinking about who they were trying to bring in, you know, it's not who everybody wanted. I know from what I saw, a lot of the Gator Nation was wanting Chip Kelly and, you know, Scott Frost. And
yeah, somebody was pushing that narrative.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I was kind of hoping they would go after, you know, like Coach Strong, or, you know, I even like the Mullen hire, you know, and the way I look at it is it might not necessarily be what we wanted, but I think it's definitely what we needed in terms of trying to get our offense back to the front and gun, what everybody was used to with Spurrier and Meyer. I don't disapprove of it. I'm excited to see what he does. You know, he was a great offensive coordinator when I was there. He had a strong control over his offense and how we functioned as a unit. And, you know, with him being a head coach, I think the sky's the limit for him with all this talent that we can bring in at UF.
What kind of guys was he in the locker room with Urban Meyer? Was he a big voice, or did Urban kind of just run the show and he sat back?
I wouldn't say he was the big voice, but he wasn't shy by any means. You know, he definitely spoke his opinion. He was very vocal. You know, if he didn't believe in something or if he wanted something done a certain way, he would definitely speak up and speak his mind. You know, I can recall a couple times where he and, you know, Steve Adazio, when I was on scout team my freshman year, you know, him and Steve Adazio, you know, kind of chopping it up a little bit in the practice field. And it was, you know, nothing harmful, just, you know, your normal banter that happens during practice and everything.
Right. Passion. Taryn, yeah. I got a question on Mullen. You know, we hear a lot about him being an offensive genius and a great scheme guy. But in the locker room, like, what are some of the characteristics? You know, why does he get that moniker?
But I think it's just because players get a sense of his offensive mind. He does a great job explaining to the players, you know, not just what he wants them to do, but why. You know, and I think that's a huge factor. I don't like saying offensive genius with any of these coaches. I don't like calling these coaches geniuses per se, because they're great at what they do, but it all comes down to bringing in the right people to fit your style and then getting them to buy into the system. And, you know, the last time we dubbed somebody a genius, you know, he just got fired and we went 4-6 or 4-7. So, I'm kind of reserved when it comes to calling somebody a genius. Is he great at what he does? Absolutely. But, you know, that term genius can, you know, you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt. He did great things at Mississippi State, and, you know, to have them, you know, ranked in the top 25 more times than what I remember seeing Mississippi State ranked, you know, that's a great feat. But I honestly think that, you know, if he comes in and these kids buy into the program like we did back in 2006, 2005, 2007, you know, when he was there, I don't see why we can't be, you know, like we were back then and actually be fun to watch. I mean, Gator players are used to us lighting up the scoreboard and then leaving at halftime knowing that we have a 50-point lead. And I think that's what they're excited to get back to. And if most of these fans that are a little disappointed about the hire can kind of just sit back and wait, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised with what Mullen can do.
Yeah, I agree. What kind of recruiter is Dan Mullen?
You know, he's a no BS kind of guy. You know, he shoots you straight with you, tells you how it is. tells you what to expect if you come into the program. He didn't recruit me personally, but, you know, when you talk to some of these other players, when I was there, you know, we kind of shared recruiting stories and, you know, what the coaches said to us when they were trying to get us to come in. He's a straight lane, no bullshit kind of guy. You know, he's going to tell you straight up, look, I'm not going to promise you a spot, but if you come in and do what I ask you to do and you produce like you have in, you know, the last 4 years of high school, you know, the sky's the limit for you, and you're going to be at a program where all you got to do is produce, and now you got the NFL knocking at your door. So, you know, like I said, he's a no bullshit kind of guy. He shoots it straight, and, you know, you either take it or leave it.
Did they offer you the Percy position when they recruited you?
Did they offer me what?
The Percy position.
No, no, I wasn't fast enough for that. I had a couple LBs on Percy.
Got you. Did you talk to any other former Gators about the hire yet? Are you guys chopping it up, getting the old band back together? What's going on?
No, honestly, I haven't really been able to reach out to anybody. You know, with my work schedule, I work weekends, and, you know, the days I'm off, I got a 2-year-old. So it's all, you know, focused on all that. So, yeah, appreciate it. But I haven't really had a chance to you know, chat it up with any of them. But I did see that, you know, Steve Harris was talking about trying to get a bunch of former players, you know, to Raleigh behind Mullen one day in Gainesville, trying to get us together down there. So I'm just kind of waiting to see how that pans out, if it generates enough momentum. And, you know, the stars align for my schedule, I'll try to be out there as well. But, no, I haven't had a chance to reach out to anybody yet.
From what you saw during that Jim McElwain era, like, what do you think the biggest issue for McElwain was, why he couldn't get over that hump?
I'm going to say I think he came in overconfident. He was too damn cocky. You know, for him to make some of the statements he made before seeing what kind of talent he had or what kind of talent he could bring in, I think that kind of hurt him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you come in supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. And, you know, I kind of told people when he first got hired, look at his track record. Yeah, the Bama quarterbacks were, you know, great in college, but none of them were ready for the NFL. How many of his former quarterbacks from Bama are in the NFL right now? You know, he doesn't really have a strong, proven track record of longevity with quarterbacks. So I wasn't 100% on board with the hiring of McElwain. You know, and I honestly feel like if it wasn't for the defense that we had these last 2 years, you know, we don't win the SEC East like we have. And I honestly don't know if he made it past year two. I wasn't 100% on board with that hire. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I was just like what I said other cats need to do, just kind of be open-minded. I was closed off in the beginning. And, you know, I tried to give him a chance, but I'm just, you know, I guess I was used to that Urban Meyer era of, you know, let's go ahead and put up 50 in the first half and let our defense close it out. And I didn't see that, and I didn't see it in the making. You know, you have all that talent at quarterback position, but we can't keep one healthy, nor can we keep one, you know, consistent.
All right, Terry, man. I appreciate you for coming on, dog. We're going to get you back on here to top it up again, man, later on in this process.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate y'all having me on. And, you know, anytime, I'm willing to talk it up anytime.
All right, man. All right, thanks absolutely, for the time. Man. Thanks. Good night.
All right, man. Y'all have a good night.
All right, man. Hold it out. Go Gators and all that other good shit. Put something in the air. Cool cat, though, man. He's articulate. Got his shit. Good points, dog.
No, he said, how'd you like the hire? I said, I didn't hate it. Like, I thought you vetted him. He was like, yeah, I love Coach Mullen or some shit. Right. He's like,
All right, man. Let's wrap it up. What the fuck you learned today, Bird?
What the fuck did I learn today?
Shit. Yeah,
I learned shit. That if Florida State hired Travis Johnson as the athletic director, he's going to bring in Mark Richt, John Lilly, Ron Dugans. Who else did he say? Like, it was a whole.
So you pretty much want to be Miami. Tell him to be a Miami fan.
Basically. I mean, he thinks he's getting the whole band back together in Tallahassee. So, yeah, Travis is good. He taught me a lot.
Yeah, just give him some fly Miami shit, bro.
What'd you learn today?
That Clinton Portis and Sean Taylor were crazy motherfuckers racing down, dog. That shit's a two-lane highway, dog.
Did we get who won?
The other way.
Who won the race?
I don't know.
They just both won for
surviving. They both won for making it.
We got to ask him that shit next time he come on. Who won that motherfucker?
That's
I was high. Crazy. I just thought about that.
He would say.
What'd you learn, Silk?
I learned that where the hoes at is still undefeated, bro. That's just an icebreaker.
That shit really is, dog. It shit never goes sideways when you
ask. You see how comfortable he got?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Yeah, he kicked his feet up as soon as you said that shit. He started coughing. My
tombstone, dog.
I'm gonna start using that.
I think he hit the J as soon as you said that shit. He started fucking coughing.
You heard that shit too?
You gotta love it when our guests get the show. Throwing up big time.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, it's championship week, Kev. Good luck.
Let's go, dog.
We out here, man. We out here.
We are out here.
For Sheezy.